What is full commitment? What does that mean? We're covering the first 13 verses of chapter 3 today of Ephesians as we continue to look at Paul's letter. Paul's writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, actually to the whole area. He was writing to the area of Asia Minor, what we know as Turkey today. And Paul feels very much aware of his commitment, very much aware of the call that God's given him to take the gospel, to take the truth about Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, beyond the Jews, to the Gentiles all around the world. We're going to read from Ephesians the first couple of verses. As soon as they go on the screen, there they are. When I think of all of this, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the benefit of you Gentiles, that'd be you and I, assuming, by the way, that you know God gave me the special responsibility of extending his grace to you Gentiles. As I briefly wrote earlier, God himself revealed his mysterious plan to me, and it was a mystery up until that time. Up until that time, the Jews thought it was just about them. So, Paul is a prisoner. He has shown his commitment in what he's done with his life. He's shown his commitment by carrying out the work to tell others about the grace of Jesus Christ. And when he went to Jerusalem to tell them what he was going to do, they arrested him. And being a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar, Nero, actually. Very famous Caesar, not in a good way. And so he was transported through lots of adventure back to Rome. And he was put in prison there. It's kind of interesting. Well, Paul spends his time in prison in Rome. It seems like all his guards around him become Christians, but that's another story for another day. But he knows what real commitment means, to follow the call of God. And I wondered how you would do in a given situation. Would you stand up for God? Would you lean his way when you're tested? When a business partner wants you to be a little dishonest on a deal? When an accountant might want you to be a little more than gray and actually cheat on your taxes? How about when you're by yourself looking at the internet, guys, and you know you shouldn't be looking, but you do? Do you say, no, I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to give him my best. I'm not going to do that. Or for all of us, you hear that juicy bit of gossip and you just can't help but pass it along. But you stop and you say, no, my Father in heaven would not want me to do that. Would you stand for God no matter what people thought? Would you stand for God no matter how hard it is? No matter how uncomfortable it is? No, the reality is a lot of us, we don't know what kind of stamina we'd have when tested. We don't know. And I'll be honest, there's times I have not followed through like I should. There's been a couple big times that Beth and I experienced together, and our choices were very clear. And we stood together. We stood with God. And I'm thankful for that. But we never know. So Paul's going to go on now and tell us why he does what he does. Not only does he have total commitment for the call that God has given him, the call that Jesus Christ gave him directly, but he also feels a responsibility. He feels a responsibility to carry out that call, to be obedient to God, as we all should be. So the complete plan has been made known to everyone. In Paul's world, he is surrounded by Judaism in his early life. But now God's given him a perspective that takes him around the world. Let's read Ephesians 3, verses 4 through 6. As you read what I have written, you will understand my insight into this plan regarding Christ. God did not reveal it to previous generations, but now, by his Spirit, he has revealed it to his holy apostle, his holy apostles and the prophets. And this is God's plan. Both Gentiles and Jews who believe the good news share equally in the riches inherited by God's children. Both are parts of the same body, and both enjoy the promise of blessings because they belong to Christ Jesus, and that would be us. We could enjoy that too. Altogether, we are the body of Christ. Altogether, we are his church. And we get to share in those blessings. We get to share in the reward, actually. We are here to represent Christ. You could say we are ambassadors to him, just like Paul told the church in Corinth a little bit before. So, and this is 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 21. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. It's a wonderful thing to be the one to represent God on this earth, to talk to people about it, to be his ambassador. But it does come with responsibility. It comes with a lot of responsibility, actually. And Paul is a little bit overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed and humbled. Actually, you can say he's more than humbled. He doesn't think he should be the one. He thinks back to his past, and if you remember the past Paul lived, it was to persecute Christians. And he did that well. I'm sure he took the life of some. He would brutalize them. He would throw them in jail. He would do all sorts of things. So he feels not worthy. Really, he's not worthy to carry that truth. You remember the phrase a few weeks ago, but God. We have one of those verses. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given the privilege of serving him. I'm sorry, this is Ephesians 3, 7 through 9. By spreading this good news, though I am the least deserving of all of God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. So these are pretty awesome words of Paul, but what's that have to do with us? If you look at this next passage, you will see what it has to do with us. Ephesians 3, 10 through 12. God's purpose in all of this was to use the church to display his wisdom in its rich variety, as we see all over the world, to all the unseen rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was his eternal plan, which he carried out through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. There it is. You see it in verse 12? We can become boldly and confidently into God's presence because we have that secure relationship with Jesus Christ, with God through Jesus Christ. We can stand before an all-holy God, even though we, by nature, are sinners. That's because the blood of Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. It's an awesome thing. God provided a way for us to stand in his presence, for us to have confidence and to be bold with the truth. Because of Christ, our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. And Paul knows very well what it's like. I mean, he's had harsh things thrown at him. He's been beaten up. He's been thrown out of town. He's been stoned. He's been left for dead. I can't imagine the physical toll it's taken on his body. We can only manage that. But you know, there's an element we don't think about it. We don't think about the emotional toll it has taken on him. I'm sure when he left the Jerusalem area, he left a lot of his friendships when he followed God. I'm sure the emotional toll on his own life, one could easily become discouraged. One can easily become emotionally distraught. And so Paul wrote to the church in Philippi these thoughts. This is in Philippians 3, 8 through 9. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. So what Paul's saying, he puts it on a scale. He takes all the benefits, all the truth of God, and compares it to the truth of the world. What does the world offer? And obviously, the scale goes way heavy on God's side. Those benefits are far beyond anything the world has to offer, anything the world can do. It'd be true for us. If we took score, if we configured what the reality of that choice is, what the scriptures tell us. So Paul wants to give us encouragement. He wants to help us to stay committed, to be true to the call of God in our lives. In Ephesians 3:13, he says, "So please don't lose heart. Because of my trials here, I'm suffering for you, so you should feel honored. Don't get discouraged because you see what's happening to me." Because he counts it as an honor to suffer for Christ. "But be encouraged because God is at work. Christ is at work. The Holy Spirit is involved with that work." So Paul tells us not to be discouraged, not to be depressed, even though he's had challenges. He wants us to stay engaged, to stay on target with the priorities that Christ has left us, to stay active, not to sit back. And he sums up his thoughts near the end of his life, and probably about the time he's writing this letter. He's in prison. If you know anything about Nero, who he's asked to be able to present his case to, oh, he was really helpful for Christians. He would burn them on the streets of Rome alive. That's what Nero did. So I can imagine what Paul was thinking through this. So Paul writes one of his closest associates, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8. It's a very emotional passage, I'm sure, for Paul. "As for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to appearing." Paul has done the scale. He knows the reality of the scale is like that. Do you ever anticipate what it's going to be like when you face Jesus Christ? Been thinking a lot about that lately, for obvious reasons in my life. Paul sure does. Paul knows. He wants us to be on target. He wants us to be active, as I said. So using Paul's words, what's the race that you're on? What race are you in? Who are we? Why are we here? 2 Corinthians 5:20. "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us." You know, if God wanted, he could have done like he did with Paul in his early days. He could have blinded him by just a glimmer of the glory of God, the glory of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ confronted Paul on that desert road to Damascus and said, "Paul, what on earth are you doing? You're punishing my people. You're punishing those I've chosen." But Paul helps us realize he's not going to do that. God is going to let each of us develop and grow to a level of maturity that we can have boldness and confidence. He's going to let each of us grow in Christ. And thank you, Lord, for giving us patience and grace for us to figure it out. It's so important for us because we are his representatives. We are his ambassadors. He wants to speak through us. He wants to speak through our lives. So I have some options for you to consider. First one, simple: support your church with time, your faithful giving, as many of you do. Many of you do sacrifice. Many of you make the time. You make it a priority. Support missions and outreach. That's a great thing. Financially, and still on missions and outreach yet. But we need to reach out as individuals supporting missions and outreach, but also as a church. And do you know when you give to this church, you're actually doing that too? You're giving to missions and outreach. So the next one, take the initiative. One of the things I have complimented Leanne about a lot is how she's an initiator. She is. She's almost initiating too much, as I've told her. But it's a blessing. It's a gift. And we need to be doing that. We need to create environments where we can build relations with people, so we can build trust, so we can talk natural, healthy discussions with them about the truth. And the last one is to be involved with purpose in others' lives. That means with intentionality to be involved. You might remember the BLESS program we talked about a couple months ago. B-L-E-S-S. The first one begins with prayer. It means we begin by praying for people that need to walk closer with the Lord. And you know, we can all do that. We can all do that. Maybe it's just one or two. Maybe it's five or six or more. I have a list of people I pray for. That means a lot. Listen with care. That's an easy one. But for Gordon, who likes to talk, that's something we have to work on. Listening, though, it's an awesome thing you can do. You can just listen to people. And another thing that's really helpful is eating together. I really like this part of the application. Just spend time eating together. How tough is that? For some of us, it's all too easy. And then the first S, serving in love. When you listen to people and you spend time with them, you can hear how you can serve people. And I can relate very directly to the, well, I had a small amount of flooding compared to some, but as neighbors, Christians and non-Christians leaned into us and helped us. I mean, we can do that. We can listen and be aware of the needs people have. And finally, I mean, sharing your story. Not taking your Bible and thumping them with the truth. Just sharing what God has done in your life. Sharing the walk you have and the difference he can make. It's a pretty awesome thing. Acts 1:8 tells us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," which means right around us and around the globe. What does full commitment mean? It means God wants your best. God wants your best, not to give up, to keep going. Know that Jesus Christ is right there alongside you. He's alongside you every step of the way, be it going out into the world or just in your backyard having a discussion with somebody. It's helpful to know what God expects. And God expects that we will stay engaged, that we will be his representatives, we will be his ambassadors, and we will be active in the ministry that he's given us. Let me pray. Gracious God, thank you for being patient with us. Sometimes I think we all could use that bright, blinding light. But in your wisdom and in your grace, you allow us to grow, to develop, to understand your heart more. Lord, give us the strength to think outside of ourselves, to think into the lives of others. Give us the initiative to create environments of trust and the right to speak into people's lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for allowing us to love and worship you. In all your name, let there be glory in Jesus Christ. Amen.